You know, introducing a show is always the hardest part.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, that's why people have those great little fancy tricked up intros to their show.
You want the truth? You want the truth? You can handle the truth!
And all of a sudden, this crackhead jumps at me and goes, "Give me that!" indicating my macaroni and cheese. So
I wanted to steal your macaroni and cheese.
Well,
did they know what it was?
Maybe thought it was crackaroni and cheese. I don't know. I wasn't a loner as much as I was an outcast. Okay. A social pariah. That's a good word.
But you were very pretty.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions.
Hey, Ryan.
Oh, hi, Kendall.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Can I stay with you tonight?
There's no way in hell that I could ever pull this off. You ever at your job and thinking, if they only knew about my little dirty little secret radio show?
Well, no. I wonder if they knew about like my cocaine habit.
Oh, okay. By the way, you're listening to Kendall and Ryan.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah 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 blah.
So his energy is focused, his confidence zen-like, and with that, he takes the stage.
Yeah! People of the universe, honorable overlords, you're now in the presence of Mr. Dubious, Dubba Dubba, Wubba Wubba Yubba Baby, woo! Let's funk it up!
Let's funk it up indeed, Ryan.
Oh. We're back after a couple weeks. Do you hear me?
I'm back. Yeah, are you back?
I'm back. Now I'm back.
I was fading out the wrong CD player there.
You're just trying to make it all about you again. It won't work. God wants me to be here.
Watch it.
The Lord is on my side.
I don't know if he wants me to be here. And that's a serious discussion I've been having with my wife lately. But that's all right. Let's start the show on
about,
note, right?
About your relationship with Jesus. Let's talk about that. We've got some things to talk about your wife and a pound of fudge later on.
Oh, did I tell you all that story? I did tell you that
story. You did, but save it because it's a good one.
Oh, man. I'm glad you said that. I would have totally forgot. That's definitely
right. I wasn't going to forget it.
My best story of the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Put a pin in it, though.
Okay. Sorry. What's more pressing?
We haven't been here in 2 weeks. I forgot that we even did a show anymore.
I missed you, Ryan. I'd gotten to the point where I was like, you know, what's the point? But I got in here, heard the intro playing, and I'm glad we do this. I'm glad we get together and do this, even if it's just for us.
Yeah, even if it's just a little love letter to ourselves every week and everyone on MySpace.
Yes, we love you, everyone on MySpace. That's what we call home. We call MySpace home. If you've happened upon us on a podcast other than Podomatic, then just to let you know, we're there, and we're also on MySpace.com. You can go anywhere we care about by going to knrshow.com. You can email Ryan. I'm sure he's already enthralled you enough to need to respond. Ryan at knrshow.com. I'm Kendall, K-E-N-D-A-L-L. I've made it simple for you. You can just do K at knrshow.com.
For those of you that have trouble spelling and are just more comfortable with letters.
Well, Kendall's one of those names, though, that you can spell it several different ways.
How? Well, which ways? How?
Well, you can spell it K-E-N-D-E-L-L, or I've actually seen somebody spell it K-E-N-D-L-E.
I've seen people spell my name R-I-A-N, which I don't think makes sense.
That's Rain.
No.
Oh, no, that's...
No, that's...
And I'm retarded.
That's not Rain. That's dyslexia. Boy, it's Ryan just with an I, actually. And then I always get Brian. I don't know what it is. I think I have some sort of a speech impediment, because whenever I tell someone my name, like, as long as I live, I go... I really try to make a real show out of saying Ryan. Like, I don't close my mouth. And every time, every single time, oh, Brian...
You know who would say it right?
Ryan.
You know who would say it right?
Who?
Our pirate.
Yeah, our pirate.
Hello to the pirate community that's so into the show.
Ryan with an R.
The medieval islander and all of his pirate friends.
I'm a little terrified of him, I have to be honest with you.
Why? He gives so many great show topic ideas.
Yeah.
Just always let me know different things that are going on. Quan LX is in trouble again, or, you know, the Houston Mayor Pro Tem. He always wants us to talk about that. But
what's happening?
I don't live in Houston.
What's
so
a Pro Tem and who's the mayor?
And that's why we're not going to talk about it.
Do you know who has been giving me a lot of shit because we haven't been on the air in the last couple days? T-Funk.
Oh, T-Funk! What is his problem?
He just keeps sending emails because he's been sick, so all he does is sit at home now. So he just keeps sending
me. What did he do before he was sick?
What do you mean? Like,
did he not just sit at home?
No, I guess he went to work.
I'm asking. I don't know. I'm not trying to be mean.
Oh, he works for a theater, but he got the flu, and so now all he does is sit at home and obsess about us rather than, you know, go spread his piss and vinegar on the community.
I was worried before you said vinegar there.
What did you think I was going to say? Rain?
Piss and rain? No, yeah. I just thought you were going to stop after piss.
Yeah. No, we are finally back.
And it's a good time to be back, too.
Yeah, why?
March Madness.
March Madness, which I have no idea. Someone said, do you want to be in the March Madness pool? And I go, okay.
You thought it was like a spring break party, didn't you?
No.
Be honest.
I had an idea that...
Umbrellas in your drinks, nine yards.
I knew that it had something to do with basketball. No, I knew it had something to do with sports. I wasn't aware that it had something to do... Or basketball, but I didn't know it was like college basketball. Well, is it college basketball?
Yes, it's...
I have no idea. I know about baseball, and that's
idiot.
The only thing I know about. Why would I need to know?
Savant, I didn't finish.
Why would I need to know about that? That doesn't help me in my daily life. That doesn't help me prosecute criminals.
Oh my gosh,
criminals.
You email me some of the... not just me, but you email people some of the dumbest,
inane...
Yeah, I
email several people dumb, inane stuff. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's not... I didn't want it to sound like it was just me and you. Hey, buddy, you know.
Oh, which reminds me about my new favorite show that I have to talk about.
Which one is it? There's so many new shows.
There's a lot of shows.
They're really good.
Eighth and Ocean.
Oh, and that's not even one that's getting talked about a lot. Black and White's getting a lot of talk, and this polygamy.
I know. Big Love.
Black White or White Black, whatever it's called.
Oh, the one where the family switch races?
Yeah, that Ice Cube is in charge of.
Yeah.
I'm not
really watching that one.
Cube.
Here are my top shows that I'm watching right now because they've started. I'm watching Big Love, which I was sort of blah about. I'm watching Eighth and Ocean, which is a reality TV show about models in Miami.
Oh, America's Next Top Model?
Which, no, it's not America's Next Top Model. It's so much
more.
Oh,
and I don't have the tyrosine.
It's so much more. It's Laguna Beach meets America's Next Top Model meets Models, Inc., which was the Melrose spinoff a couple years ago. It's the best show on TV.
I've never in my life yelled at a girl like
this. Is this from the show?
And my mother yells at
That's
me because
Tyra.
She loves
That's
me.
The America's Next Top Model.
Oh, okay. It's different.
It's different than that.
What's this one called?
Eighth and Ocean.
Eighth and Ocean.
And then there's a crazy anorexic girl on Real World Key West, and her name's Crazy Paula, and she's totally psycho.
Do they really call her Crazy Paula?
They need to call her Crazy Paula because she is literally insane. Like, the first night that the roommates all go out to get drunk, she corners like the one guy who's like the nice guy and like just like wails and cries about how she hates herself or whatever, and they flash to the guy, and he like the look on his face is like, how do I get stuck with the crazy bitch? And I was like, that's what you get when you're the nice guy. I learned my lesson early on because I used to get stuck with the crazy bitch every night, the one that's crying and throwing up on herself and needs to go home and get put in a cab.
But now you go, and
they don't sleep
now
with
you go home with the hottest chick in the room.
Because the crazy
you're
one,
you're a jerk.
The crazy one won't sleep with you. You just take her home, and then she throws up in your bed. Except for Paula, because she doesn't eat, because she's anorexic.
Mm.
She has what I call clavicolitis, which is when you're so skinny that you can see your clavicles. They're like handles. And so when you want to shake Paula, you
what
just grab
What would you use those handles for?
You just to grab the crazy and shake the crazy out of her. That's the one thing that God made about anorexic.
You don't know where the hell I come from. You have no idea what I've been through.
Mm-mm.
Is that what it's about?
That's what it's
Where's
about.
Where's she from? Where's Crazy Paula from?
Where is Crazy Paula from? I don't know.
You weren't paying
Skinny those. Town, USA. She like literally jumped right into the crazy. Like Paula brought the crazy. She was like, so I have my bag of crazy. You want me to unpack it here? Okay. She like gets in a fight with the douchebag frat guy John about because he doesn't like her because he's not attracted to skeletons. And it just was insane from the get-go. And she was all, I was so drunk. Meanwhile, they cut to the roommates going, she didn't have one drink. But she's throwing up at the same time. Because my favorite part is that she gets so upset that her skinny little face turns red. And then she starts hyperventilating and like shaking and kind of gets like crazy talk on. Oh, it's the best season in the world. Well, not the best season. Actually, pretty lame season. But one of the best. Because she's actually crazy.
Well, you know who else is crazy? Is Crazy Paul Abdul.
Yeah,
I've decided
Paula's not crazy. Paula's an alcoholic and a drug addict.
Well, she may legitimately have a disease, but I think that she overdoses on whatever medication she's on.
What disease do you think
I
she
don't,
has?
It's the shakes. I don't know.
Maybe lupus because she's always wearing wigs.
She's got shingles. I don't know.
Shingles don't make you insane. No. What was it that Paula said to the American Idol contestants that as they were getting kicked off the other week? She said they had the last two contestants, and she said, Simon said one of you is getting kicked off because you ate pizza and you ate salad. And then Ryan Seacrest laid into her and was like, that's not appropriate. And Paula was all, whatever. And then, like, the next guy's
yeah,
get up
there. Yeah, that
was
nice. She was really bad. Yeah. And she'll do this thing where she starts a word
mm-hmm.
not knowing what the word's going to be. And just the first letter will come out of her mouth.
But
she'll say, you're so beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's like she starts with the B and doesn't know where she's going from there, literally until the word comes
out.
It's
almost like an improv exercise. Like, she looks up to a screen that has just a letter and she has to think of a word like, you're so voluptuous.
Yeah, it's like Balderdash. Have you ever played that? It's the same. Balderdash. She's playing in a nationally televised game.
Day, like, the other day, she had to incorporate the word salad and pizza in her critique. One of you ate pizza and one of you... She's quite good at it, really.
It's not that
she's a drunk. It's that she's doing the art of improv, which is stressful.
But she is the only one playing. So I don't know if you can count that.
And you know that Simon eggs are on. You know that Simon's like slipping, you know, GHB in her Coke drink. You know how they always have the Coke cups or something like that?
Yeah.
Because Simon's egging her on. Like, you know, like during the break, he's like stabbing her with like a shrimp fork and going, they all hate you, Paula. She's like, what? You're ugly.
Well,
ooh, that ace is giving you the glad eye.
The glad eye.
Do you know what the glad eye is? It's the opposite of the stink eye.
Well, we got back into brackets here because we did a pool on America's Next Top Model. And, no.
No.
Wait, on...
American Idol.
Oh, jeez, it's hard to keep all these straight, man. Mm-hmm.
Because they start with America.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on TV.
They are. They're actually...
No, but we had a pool, and I am already mathematically eliminated from winning.
How? I don't understand.
And we've still got 12 people left.
Let me explain to everyone. You've started an American Idol sort of March Madness betting pool to see who will make it to the end.
Right.
And speaking as someone who is outside of this and watching all my friends play in it, it is the most complicated...
No.
It is mathematically the most complicated betting game I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's really simple, but Patrick and me, I'm guilty of it too. We make it real complicated because we look real far ahead. But it's very simple. For every week, you get a point for every person that you pick to be in that round that made it.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Really? Because when I look...
I know.
We'll post this up on the MySpace page. When I look at this chart...
We will.
Yes, because we really need to.
Because
this is
you just pulled a Catherine. You just pulled my wife on me because you just said we, and you mean
you. Well, I don't do anything.
Ass.
What do you think I mean by that? I don't.
You
do
can't
anything.
Do that. That's exactly. You can't do that.
Quit
you can't.
Whining.
You can't. We.
Okay.
We'll do that.
Put it on.
My mom used to
put it on
volunteer
space,
me for crap all the time. She'd say, "Oh, Kendall will do it." No, I don't like that.
Well,
you ask,
Kendall. Put it on the MySpace page, or I'm going to... Will you please put it on the MySpace page?
Sure.
The thing about it is, I think that if I'm able to figure out how this AI game works, that we might find in it the cure for cancer.
Oh, there's no doubt. There is no doubt.
I think the formula for fusion or whatever, cold fusion, is found in the AI betting pool, American Idol betting pool.
Well, my biggest mistake was not talking to our guest before I did that, because we have with us a legend in my mind in the music scene and in bands and just radio here in Houston. David Sadoff is with us. Hello, David.
Hey, Kendall.
Do you
Ryan?
Pronounce it David Sadoff?
I pronounce it David.
David.
How do you pronounce your last
name? Oh, the last name. Sadoff. Yes.
Okay.
Sadoff.
I was asking if you were... I thought you were asking about how to pronounce David. I was like... Pretty forward about that.
I just covered it up with the Sadoff part. I knew exactly how to pronounce that.
Right.
And David, you are the host of High Fidelity, heard every Sunday night from 7 to 11 on FM News Channel. Yes, it's a music show on a news channel, go figure, but it's every Sunday from 7 to 11. And you can also stream it.
That's right. And, you know, I thought that was a great idea to do a music show on a news station. I don't have to worry about the format of the station or whether or not, you know, it's something I play is going to get played on the station later, any of that stuff. And just like I've always done, doing a show where I choose all my own music and play what I want to.
Mm-hmm. And you've been with several different stations in different capacities over the years. You're one of those guys who, like myself, you just love radio. you particularly love music. I love the talk aspect of it, but it's just that love for the medium and communicating what you love through that medium.
You know, I've always been a music guy, and it started out in college, going back to 1982 at KSHU in Huntsville, and started doing radio shows there. I did one called The Backyard Barbecue, which was music like they call Americana now. It was Jason the Scorchers and the Lone Riders and Lone Justice and that sort of thing. And, you know, after a while, I got kind of bored with it because there wasn't enough new music coming out, and I started a show called Explosions in the Glass Palace.
Nice.
And that was more neo-psychedelic, like Echo and the Bunnymen and Psychedelic Furs and Dream Syndicate and stuff
Ryan,
like that.
Ryan, has he named any bands that you're familiar with yet?
No, David and I realized that we weren't going to have much in common.
Because I don't watch television.
When he said that, I asked David, did you watch The Real World or something like that? And he goes, I don't have cable. And I go, I don't know what that means.
It's been so long since I had cable that the last time I had cable, they actually showed music videos on MTV.
That is a long time.
And then I said, oh, like VH1 is now. And then he goes, what's VH1? And I go, are you kidding me? What's VH1? Video Hits 1? David.
VH1's not even playing music anymore. It's all about Flavor of Love. And
VH1's got some of the best, also some of the best programming on TV.
It really is looking like complete...
You know what, though?
Polar opposites sitting across from me right now.
If you tune into VH1 and MTV like around 2 a.m., though, they start playing music.
I'm gonna stay up for that.
Stay up for it.
I'm going to pay $40 a month so I can stay up till 2 in the morning?
No, you're paying $40 a month so you can get a lot of channels that you don't watch.
You know how much, you know how much cable cost back when I had it?
How much?
$10 a month.
That's how much my mom still pays, actually.
How?
My mom just got a cell phone this weekend because apparently my mom lives in like 92.
I don't care where she lives. How does she only pay $10 for cable?
I don't think she does legally. I don't think she
does. Oh, well. She probably has an illegal hookup and the neighbor comes by once a month.
She's
to collect.
She's grandfathered by like some cable contract clause from years ago, or I don't know how she does it. But she can't upgrade or downgrade or anything like that because, So, because she's got this thing, this great deal where she pays $11 a month.
She's still getting Prime Sports and...
Yeah, because my mom watches all that. No, she does. She just gets regular basic cable.
I think 10 of my channels are Home Shopping Network or variations thereof.
I don't... Yeah, what shows do I watch? I like watching the Food Network. My mom's all
I'm
about
sorry,
like, Home
David,
and Garden.
We drifted.
That's all right. Ryan, what music do you listen to?
You know, I listen... Everyone always says just I have the worst taste in music because... Mainly I listen to what's playing on the radio. I guess if I like something, that's so hard for me to say. Like,
what was the last CD?
What was the last CD that I bought? I'm trying to think. Because that's how often I don't buy CDs. I like Coldplay a lot. I like Death Cab for Cutie.
Yeah.
I like pop music, kind of.
I know.
Do you ever think about what your favorite albums are?
Ah, and that's where we're going to go next. David Sadoff came in today. He has this... Ryan, you thought the AI pool was complicated. This is unbelievable. It's David Sadoff's total point scoring TPS methodology.
TPS.
Now, have y'all seen Office Space, the movie Office Space?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's where the TPS comes from.
Ah, very good.
TPS
report. TPS
report.
Yes. Well, we're going to take us out of here with one of the songs you'll hear... a lot on, not every week, but a lot of weeks on High Fidelity. This is The Cult.
And no, actually, this is The Clash.
I mean The Clash. I was looking at the wrong thing.
Good, Kendall.
And
good.
Hey, pay attention to the drummer. Pay attention to the drummer, because on every verse, he plays something entirely different.
That's worth listening for. This is The Clash.
played guitar, jamming good with Weird and Gilly and the Spiders from Mars. He played it left hand, but made it too far. Became the special man, then we were Ziggy's band. Ziggy really sang, screwed up eyes and screwed down hairdo, like some cat from Japan. He could lick 'em by smiling, he could leave 'em to hang. They came on so loaded, man, well hung in a snow white tan. About his fans and should we bless him for your hands? Oh. Ziggy played for time, jiving us that we were voodoo. The kids were just crass, he was the man. God-given ass, he took it all too far, but boy, could he play guitar. Making love with his ego, Ziggy sucked up into his mind. Oh, like a leper messiah, when the kids had killed the man,
David Bowie there. Little Ziggy Stardust.
That's right. Number two on my list.
And what's number one?
Number one is The Clash,
which
London Calling. Yes. And we heard I'm Not Down. And if you were paying attention, you heard in the drumming on every single verse, Topper Hedden played an entirely different beat.
And Topper Hedden would be the drummer.
Yes, well, one of two drummers. Well, Torrey Crimes, also known as Terry Chimes, was the original drummer.
Hold and on, then, Ryan. You'll be okay.
Yeah. I can name you the entire cast of Facts of Life, so I'm equally as impressed.
But Topper became the regular drummer of The Clash up until the point that he had his run-in with heroin.
Now that's a story I get into.
Okay, so you said this was number two on your list, David Bowie, and then The Clash is number one. Now,
a perfect score, by the way, on using... You know, my method is 130.99.
Is this anywhere online?
Not yet.
It needs to be on your MySpace
page.
You
know, we should put this on MySpace.
We should, shouldn't we?
We should put it there.
I look at Ryan and say, ass.
Yeah.
Send me the text file. We'll put it up.
Okay. So,
so tell us about it.
Okay, well, the way this works is you start off with 100 points divided by the number of songs on the album, including hidden tracks, if you want to include those. So, for example, to make it simple, if you had 10 songs on an album, each song would be potentially worth 10 points.
Okay, so... Okay,
that's step one.
How many tracks... Well, so let's walk through... So how many tracks are on the Killers album that I chose?
I don't know.
Okay, well, great, thanks.
I can't... I'm not... This isn't a bit. I can't find it, so you're going to have to do it with this album.
Okay.
That's the only track list I can
find. That's fine.
Okay. I'm sure it's a great album. What do you have there?
What album is this?
That's the Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, so Kelly Clarkson is
thankful.
My
this is
album.
Thankful. Yes.
And I actually kind of know
now,
some of these songs.
I can't guarantee this will work. I've never done this with a Kelly Clarkson album.
So. We're venturing into new territory.
Is pop
for David.
Music
David, have you ever heard Kelly Clarkson?
She's from Texas, and I believe she was one of the first two winners of American Idol. The other one no longer has a record contract.
Yeah, well, she was the winner, and then the other one was Justin Guarini, whose career tanked shortly after from Justin to Kelly.
Did you see the movie?
I saw it on cable, actually.
You have it on DVD, don't you?
You know what?
Be honest.
I really...
Be honest.
No.
$5 at Walmart?
In fairness, I don't have a DVD player. So, no.
I don't have cable. He doesn't have a DVD player.
But sure, I probably would have bought it just because you have to have something to watch when you get drunk. So, okay. Right. There's 12 tracks.
What's your favorite drunk album?
Kelly Clarkson's Thankful, which has 12 tracks.
David?
So,
favorite drunk album?
Probably just about anything by Tom Waits.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Okay, so 8.3 points.
What's that? Okay, so 8.3. So, okay, we'll go with that. And then what you're going to do is he's divided 100 points. By, so each song is worth a maximum of 8.3 points.
Okay.
Okay, having said that, you're going to give each great song, each song that you think is great, the full amount of those points, and every terrible song, 0 points, and all other songs, the appropriate amount of points, somewhere in between.
Okay.
Okay, so, for example, your midpoint
through the list.
Is 4.
Okay, well, this isn't our new one, which I really like the new one better, but this is the first album. So, it's The Trouble With Love Is, Miss Independent, Low. So, I'm just rating these as I go. Do I need to tell you what I'm rating
Trouble With Love Is. Yeah. What do you got?
I'm going to give that 5.
Okay. Sure. Miss Independent?
I'm going to give that 8.3.
All right, go ahead.
Low, I'll give 7.
I liked that one. That was might have been my favorite song on that.
Some Kind of Miracle. I don't know that song, so I'll give it 2. Well, because it...
yeah, exactly. It's terrible if you don't know about it.
It didn't make it into
it's
the...
It's not on the radio. Yeah.
Right, right.
What's Up Lonely? Sounds like something I could get into. 4. just Missed the Train. I can identify with that. 6. Tell me if I'm doing this
wrong. No, you're doing it fine.
Beautiful Disaster, 1. Can I give 0?
Is that a cover of 311?
Doubt it.
Probably not.
I doubt it.
He's like, who? What?
I know 311. It's a bar in Austin on 6th Street. No, 311. And it is a bar in Austin on 6th Street.
311, it always sounds like they should have a horn.
Wait, can I give something 0 points?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, Beautiful Disaster gets 0. You Thought Wrong, featuring Tamira Gray, who was 3rd. And whenever someone gets kicked off unexpectedly, they're really talented and they get kicked off American Idol, they get Tamira'd. Just FYI about that. Sort of like Jump the Shark, another something no one knows about. I'm going to give that...
Are you talking about Happy Days now?
Yes.
See, okay. David knows what it is and he doesn't even have a television. How do you not know what Jump the Shark is?
I have a television, I just don't have cable.
Yeah. Let's pretend you don't. It makes it better.
Thankful.
Come on, David, play along here.
Thankful, I'm going to give... 6. Anytime, I'm going to give 5.
Why are we talking about Jumping the Shark?
Because I just have to make fun of him like regularly. But A Moment Like This, her first hit, is an 8.3, definitely. And then Before Your Love is also 8.3.
All right, add them up.
Okay, so go ahead and add it up. And while you're doing that, the next step is going to be, if you consider this album to be a classic, and that would be defined as a flawless album, doesn't have a single track that isn't great, obviously not this album, then you would give it up to another 10 points. So basically, if it scored anywhere between 80 and 100 on this first round, you have the ability to give it up to 10 points at your discretion.
Okay. And while Ryan's adding that up, David, I'm looking over your list here, and I've noticed that the difference between number 1 and number 2...
Yes.
Is 1/100th of a point.
Exactly. And there's a... That's right. Now, there's a tiebreaker. That's actually the last step, okay? We're going to get to that in a minute. In the decimal.
1/100th of a point, David.
Right. Well, I mean, you've got to have a tiebreaker, and sometimes, you know, the point of this exercise, because there is a point to it, it's not frivolous, it's that if you were asked by someone, you know, what are your top 5 albums? What are your top 10? What are your top 500, for that matter? It's very difficult on the spot to come up with that, and even if you did come up with your top 5, you're probably wrong, okay? Because you haven't sat down...
You're wrong about what your favorite albums are.
Well, you may be, because... not necessarily wrong, but I think that if you grabbed a piece of paper and wrote down your 5 favorites, and then you went through your collection of all the CDs you own, and you did this, you would come up with 2 different lists, because I think that when you're asked that question, you're not always entirely honest with yourself.
By the way, I found the track list to The Killers in like 1 second.
I was trying to find that during the break. I could not find it.
Kelly Clarkson's freshman album, Thankful, garnered a total of 61.9 points.
Okay, so obviously, you don't consider that a classic, so we're not going to assign it any additional points.
Okay.
Now, the next step, if you
play
are...
Play along at home, kids.
Is there a picture of artwork here?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, bring that up. And if you
it's
are...
It's probably just a picture of her face.
It is a picture of her face.
If you're impressed by the artwork or packaging, and I say packaging, like if you have an album with elaborate packaging, like some of the Talking Heads albums, right. Some things like that, you can give it up to another 10 points just for the packaging, because I think the packaging counts for something.
So I can give it up to? Because I think it's mediocre packaging. But
so what do you want to give her?
I'm going to give her three because she couldn't help it.
And
it
she's
was
good
a,
looking.
Okay.
That's got to be worth it. Give her four. Come on.
You know, you've
she's
got,
hot.
I'll give her four.
All right. And also, we don't want to have a decimal at this point, so that's 61.9. Just make that 62.
Okay, 62.
We don't want a decimal.
No decimals.
So she's
at
66.
Wait, you got rid of decimals? All right. Okay.
I'm
looking over your list here as y'all are going through this, and you know you got Led Zeppelin.
You need a whole number.
You got
for
the
this
Who.
Part.
So I have Kelly Clarkson right now. After packaging, is at 66 points. She's gone from 62.
Jane's at
66.
Now here's the next part. If you can think of five or more artists that were inspired by the album, and you like the majority of those artists, you can award it up to 10 more points. Conversely,
not by this album though.
Yeah, conversely though, if you can think of five or more artists that were inspired by the album and you don't like those artists, you take away up to 10 points. Now you might be asking, why'd you come up with that? What's that all about?
Yeah, what's David, what's that
what's
all about?
What's that all about, David?
It's about Creed.
Oh god.
And here's let's say you're
Creed is a negative Pearl Jam?
Let's say if you're evaluating a Pearl Jam album, okay?
Creed counts against it.
Exactly.
Wow.
They lose points because if it wasn't for Pearl Jam, we wouldn't have had Creed. It's their fault.
Okay. You know, and if it wasn't for Kelly Clarkson, we wouldn't have Ruben, Fantasia.
We wouldn't have any of the American Idols.
And Carrie Underwood. So that's three.
And do you like those artists?
Clay Aiken.
And Clay Aiken. No. So that's four times what?
Well,
I think she's down
well,
to
here's
zero.
The thing. No. It's not. No, it's up to 10.
Okay.
She can lose or gain 10 points based on how you feel about the artist that she's influenced.
She just lost her packaging point, so she's back down to 63.
So you took 10 away. Is that what just happened?
Did I need to take 10 away?
Well, it's up to you. Oh no, it's
you
up
did
to
fine.
You.
You did fine.
Yeah, you did fine.
I'm gonna bring her back.
It's
to
your choice.
She's at 63.
Okay.
I'm really surprised that Barbara Mandrell is in your top 100.
Barbara Mandrell rocks.
Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. That's it says Sinead O'Connor. I'm
remember
sorry.
The Barbara Mandrell show?
Okay. And then
the Mandrell sisters?
Yeah.
We've got two steps left.
Please.
The next one is add or subtract discretionary points as you see fit. So it's left open if there's other criteria that you want to use to personalize it.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And now here's the tiebreaker. Okay, because as you can see on my list, how many albums do I have that scored 130?
Thank goodness this is a fancy spreadsheet. 14.
14. Okay. So I've got 14 on there.
You've got 14 favorite albums.
Exactly. So what do you do?
Heaven forbid.
Oh, okay.
What if you had a 14? What if somebody asked you what your favorite was?
Oh, so
they don't want to sit there and watch you go through 14.
Right.
I get it. So
I want to know now.
I do this to all of the albums that
yes.
I like.
Yes, you go through.
And that's how it'll tell me.
Right. You go through all.
It's not psychic.
Right. Or psychotic.
I don't know.
No, you go through.
I didn't know if he was going to pull up this laminated card and go 63. That means you like the Clash, you know? Or
what is 63 on my laminated card?
I don't know.
Bruce Springsteen.
I thought I was.
Do you like Bruce Springsteen?
I thought I was going to get assigned a
Ryan.
Album.
Do you like Bruce Springsteen? Because
yeah.
Maybe this is psychic.
Actually, number 63 is Tom Waits' Small Change. You know what I've updated the list from my all laminated right. card. So
yes, laminated card. He has a laminated card of his top how many?
74 is all that would fit.
In your pocket.
Both sides.
In your wallet,
in
laminated.
Wallet. In case someone asks me. I might forget.
You'd scare the crap out of me if I asked you that at a bar. I'd say, David, so what's you're into music. What's your favorite album? You whip that out. You know what I do? Leave.
I have a laminated card with all my favorite classic television.
What if
shows?
Someone stops me on the street and says, you know, Mr. David Sadler,
give me all your money or tell me your top 74 now.
How often are you interviewed by the VH1 correspondents?
What's VH1?
Right, exactly. He'd be like, what is that? Something from India?
I thought you were talking about the Veterans Administration
right.
or something.
The VH1. It's
Veterans
down
Hospital.
In Fort Knox.
Okay.
The VA.
I just went to the VH.
VH1? I love that tomato juice.
All right, so the tiebreaker. Are you ready for that?
I'm ready.
Okay. Using the decimal point to break the tie, you're going to rate the album, and you can do this with Kelly Clarkson there, on a scale of 1 to 99 in regard to how likely you are to listen to that album at any given time. In other words, if you're just hanging around your house, how likely are you getting drunk. How like, well, if you're listening to Kelly Clarkson, you probably already are drunk.
And broken up in 14. and lost the big
just
game.
Just like Hermione. Did you see that picture of Hermione getting drunk?
Oh, yeah. We'll talk
from Harry Potter? It's true. There's a picture on the internet of her. Really?
They're British.
Corona.
They start drinking at age 11.
Oh, I guess Catherine thinks she's British. That would explain so much.
Yeah.
how likely would you be, if this album is in your collection, how likely would you be to just grab it off the shelf and listen to it at any given moment that you're going to listen to an album?
Like once a day.
That's high.
That's a lot. Never.
Never. So we'll say 0.1. Okay.
It needs a 0.1.
It's
got a 0.1.
So right. David, I'm looking through here. That's an interesting thing there, that tiebreaker thing, because you have some that you're not real likely to listen to, but that are in your top 40. Led Zeppelin, only a 0.43 there on the tiebreak,
right,
which means you're not real likely to listen to it.
Right.
And I think that's two, Led Zeppelin two. But you've got it at number 39.
Right, because it rated that based on the songs itself, the artwork, the influence.
You know,
which album is Psycho Killer on?
77. You know what year that came out?
77.
Exactly.
This is Psycho Killer. This is David's number 77 album, Talking Heads with Psycho Killer. You're listening to the K&R Show, knrshow.com. We've got David Sadoff of the High Fidelity Show. You can go to our MySpace page and just click on him. He'll be in our top 8 for a while. This is one of my favorite songs, actually.
Run, run, run.
keep it down now.
It's more, oh, hush. Keep it down now.
Shut up. Shut up.
Shut up.
That's Amy Mann.
Baby Blue. Song originally done by Badfinger.
David Sadoff in studio with us. You're listening to the K&R Show, knrshow.com. David, you have in front of you a little Amy Mann CD that looks a little different than mine.
Well, it's got writing on it, and I have an Amy Mann story. It was when I was working at KLOL at the point that I was just doing...
Houston's rock station.
And I was doing my my show called Exposure on Sunday nights. And one evening I came up to get my mail, which is basically picking up my CDs, and among them was Amy Mann, and I took these home, and in the morning I'm thinking, I'd like to hear that new Amy Mann CD, so I pull it out. And I hadn't noticed this before. It has writing on it. And it said, to David, I hear you're a great guy. True. XX Amy.
Wow.
I thought, well, that's really strange.
Are the X's the hugs or the kisses?
The kisses.
Is that
Ooh.
What it is?
Ooh. Those are the kisses.
The O's are the hugs.
The O's are the hugs.
That's not O-O there, David.
Right.
That's XX.
So I'm thinking, well, that's strange. I've never met her before. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know where this came from, but I know what I'll do. I'll get some letterhead up at the radio station envelope, and I'll get it. I'll just write on there, "Dear Amy, true, XX David." So, you know, because I'm thinking I can send it to her, you know, in care of Imago Records, and it will look important because it comes from a real radio station, and it will get to her.
Right.
So, I go up there to do that, and Patty, who's the music director at the time, says to me, "Oh, David, did you get your CD?" And I'm like, "Yeah. What was that about?" She's like, "Well, I was in Dallas for a listening party for Amy's new album, and Jetson was the record rep at the time.
Okay.
And Jetson
George,
was,
Judy, Jane?
Ron.
Okay.
Yeah. And so Jetson says to her when she's signing stuff, "Oh, you got to sign one for David. He's a great guy." All right.
There you go.
So I send... You know, I get the letterhead and I send this off to her. Now, at the same time, I was a music consultant to a radio station in St. Louis called The Point. And about a month and a half after this, I was up there.
The Point here plays till Tuesday.
Probably so. But
sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was a different point.
Oh.
This is a different point. But she was playing at Point Fest, which they were having. And
all right.
And so I'm walking around backstage. And I see Amy Mann. So I go up to her, and I tell her this entire story. She's wearing sunglasses. She looks at me like I'm nuts. She has no idea what I'm talking about, and I just have to walk away with my tail between my legs.
And you say, "But look, you're number 73 on my card."
So, but the story doesn't end there. It gets better.
Oh, okay. All right.
It gets much
good,
better.
Good, because it was getting bad.
Okay.
Shut
so,
up, Kendall. Ignore him.
So, you know, I felt bad about that. Just it went awful. And so I get back to Houston, and about another month later, and apparently she's off tour at that point, about another month later, I get a postcard at the radio station. And on this postcard is a caricature of Amy Mann that she's drawn herself. And it was a postcard from the museum where she lives. And it said, "Too true, love from Amy." And I mean, how great
That's
is that?
Awesome.
It was, and I thought, well, what a great end to this story. And obviously, you know, she got home. I was right. It did look important. It did get to her, and she didn't get it till she got off tour. She must have snapped and put
there
it all
go.
Together. And there you go.
And now you're best friends with Amy Mann. Do y'all hang out still?
Actually, she doesn't return my emails.
And I have a court order to stay 175 feet away from her. And I'm okay with that. Because
all right, David,
I
know you have a wealth of stories. We have time for one more, because after this next break, Ryan's got a lot he's got to get into, because this is kind of therapy for Ryan.
Right.
Okay?
Am I taking up your therapy time?
Yeah. Well, the problem is I've actually been going to a therapist, so I'm really losing a lot of material.
Oh, man.
Well, you look real...
You gotta stop that.
I'm just
You know,
kidding.
You look real comfortable on that couch, though. In fact, I was kind of impressed that you guys had a couch here.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know that there were basements this far deep into downtown Houston.
Yeah.
You know? Did this used to be a speakeasy?
It still is, actually.
Is it?
Well, it's not so much a speakeasy as much as it's a whorehouse. Or sometimes people call them bathhouses. Either way.
Ryan goes by another name.
Right.
And, you know, leads, do radio shows, sex for money, and illegal alcohol sales after 2 o'clock
a.m. See, and if we could do radio shows for money, we could probably hang up the whorehouse.
Yeah, thing, I wouldn't. We wouldn't have
get
to
get us off the streets, people.
Kendall wouldn't have to give
tell your local program directors about us.
Kendall wouldn't have to constantly be taking penicillin if we had like.
I think I caught AIDS today. Did I tell you all that?
Yeah, this brilliant AIDS story.
Well, I was David has demands because he's a high profile, you know, DJ, and so he asked for gummy bears, and of course I always forget about crap like that to the last minute, so I stopped by a Walgreens over near Sharpstown Mall and was throwing away my Wendy's.
You
bag.
Stopped near Sharpstown Mall?
I'm telling you, it's AIDS.
Well, it might not be AIDS, but it might be, you know, crack or something.
And I was throwing it away on their wastebasket, and it had razors or something on it. Again,
so that people don't live in them.
Well, it was just a trash can.
Oh, okay.
It was just a small reception. A small person could live in there, not well, but
Oscar the Grouch.
They couldn't have a TV, but right. If it was David, that wouldn't matter anyway.
Right. David so. David just needs his walk around radio.
Well, that's right.
Pretty much.
And his list, which he's got in his pocket, so he's set. But no, so I took the hide off my finger, so I think I probably have AIDS. You know, and that's how it happens.
No, yeah, that's exactly what? How it happens. You can't say
my mom,
that.
My mom was a hospice nurse.
Oh, yeah? And how many people came in that contracted AIDS from trash can?
You ever heard of Fritz Von Erich?
No, actually. No.
Kevin Von Erich, the Von Erichs.
Oh, the...
The wrestling family. Fritz okay. was the dad.
Yeah?
My mom was his hospice nurse when he died.
What, and he got AIDS from a trash can? I'm trying to see how this ties back to your retarded
Ryan,
state.
That's very libelous for you to say that. No, I was just telling a different story. Gosh, Ryan.
You can't get AIDS from a trash can.
That's true.
There are people out there that will believe that.
They're stupid.
I agree that they're stupid, but there are people out there that will believe that, that do believe that.
It's
I used to volunteer for the AIDS Foundation of Houston. You would not believe how stupid people are.
What was the dumbest thing somebody ever said to you there?
I just had, like, they would be constantly would be bewildered because they had random unprotected sex with multiple partners at an orgy, and then they were surprised that they contracted the disease.
Did you find out where the orgies are?
I was always at them. I just always used protection.
Okay.
Because I use it. I'm smart. Use the old noggin. When I go to orgies, I bring Trojans.
Promotional spot, not sponsored by Trojan.
Actually, you know what I used to do for the AIDS Foundation of Houston?
Please tell me.
I worked for what the AIDS Foundation of Houston is a really good program. It's for people that have AIDS that are low on the socioeconomic ladder. They don't have a lot of money. And so they have this place called Stone Soup.
Do rich people even get AIDS?
Not anymore, not since like 83. Okay. So what happened is that they have this thing called Stone Soup, which is like a grocery store.
David is like, what have I gotten myself into? David's like, no, David, come back.
It's like a grocery store for these people to get food and stuff at. But the thing is, the AIDS patients, HIV patients, they would be on a strict diet of like certain foods they could and couldn't eat based on their medication. So what my job was is to get their list and then go get all like their groceries and stuff like that. And, you know, I thought it would be pretty simple. They said, well, you've got to really be aggressive if you're going to work at Stone Soup. And I go...
Be aggressive.
Yeah, really.
Be aggressive.
And I was like, why? And they said, because they want, you know, a lot of times they'll want 5 bags of cookies and they can't have it. And so I was like, okay, whatever. And literally my first day there, I was yelling at dying, broke AIDS patients saying... You can't have another bag of Oreos because Dr. Feinstein said so. Put them down, Amanda. Put them down.
That is so funny because I guarantee you that's exactly what your career counselor in high school thought you'd be doing.
Yeah, right. That's what I do get for volunteer work. You know, I really got a lot of aggression out, though.
You know where they don't have Oreos? They don't have Oreos at the cult listening party in Dallas, which
oh
I went to
gosh, David,
when I was working at KLOL.
We've talked about this, Ryan. That's a segue. Segue is 101.
Yeah, segue.
Yeah. No, but I do want you to tell your class story because that's what we're going to play for our last break here.
The cult. See, now you reversed it.
Dadgummit. It's okay. I don't get guest names right usually anyways.
They're both from England, so there you go. So the cult was releasing an album called Sonic Temple, and I'd gone to Dallas for a listening party for it, to which the band was going to be there. And the band actually didn't show up because their visas didn't go through, but we...
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Yeah, they were stuck in England. They couldn't get back to America.
Why did their visas get denied, do you know?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. But
that's a good story.
The record label had a restaurant stay open late for us, an Italian restaurant, because it's like 10:30 at night. None of us have had dinner. They'd flown in radio people from other parts of the country.
Right.
So we go to this restaurant and, you know, we order. And I had really long hair at the time. I had hair about halfway down my back, like this long. And I got up from the table to go to the bathroom. And one, you know, now, have either of you ever had really long hair?
No, not that long.
Long
so really. Comes like my shoulders.
So something my sister taught me was the hair flip. So it's like you're not combing your hair.
The time-honored tradition of hair flip teaching from brothers and sisters.
Right. It's when, you know, you for people who don't know, you lower your head and then you throw it back and everything's fine, right? I misjudged the distance from my head to the marble counter.
Nice.
This was a nice restaurant. And I... right on the marble counter.
Oh.
And now my forehead is red, and I'm waiting for it to go away so I can go back out to the table like nothing happened.
You could have gone to the bathroom and cut bangs. That would have done it.
You're right. I didn't have scissors. So...
that's my MacGyver reflexes kicking in there.
So I get through the...
No materials or talent.
I get through the dinner, and the following morning, I'm flying back into Hobby Airport. Okay, and now it's overnight, so I didn't really have any luggage. I just had, you know, a bag like this, like what I brought in here, just a regular small shoulder bag, and I just had a change of clothes, really nothing else. And I'm walking, you know, through the airport to the parking garage. It's like 9:30 in the morning, and I realize there are two guys following me, you know, like wearing shirts and ties, just normal clothes. And then one of them calls out to me that they're police officers. But I don't know what to think. It's like, are they really police officers? How do I know if they're cops?
That's a good point.
And if I stop and they're not, I'm in trouble. If I walk to my car, you know, it's like any way I look at it, it's not a good situation for me. I didn't really know what to do. So I turned around and by the way, there's no one else in the parking garage. I mean, it's just the three of us. And I called out to them nervously. I said, I saw a uniformed officer up at the entrance. I'm just walking back up to him, and they're like, fine, keep your hands where we can see them. And so I walk back up, and they follow me, and I say to the uniformed officer, these two guys are following me, they say that they're police officers. He goes, well, that's because they are. Nice, thanks for telling me. So they ask me, where are you coming from? Dallas. What was your business there? Oh, I was there for a cult listening party.
Nice.
And as soon as I said that, I realized these guys have no idea what I'm talking about. They probably, you know, listen to Merle Haggard and Patsy Cline records.
Right.
And, Kelly Clarkson.
Right.
Yeah.
She wasn't out at the time. Well, she's not out now. But anyway, so they...
say what you will. Go ahead.
So anyway, they... I immediately backpedal and I said, look, I'm a music director for a rock and roll radio station in Houston called KLOL. I was in Dallas for a listening party for a rock and roll band called, I said it like this, you know, rock and roll band called...
like you're talking to a four-year-old.
Exactly, you know. And, you know, I'm telling them that. Now, I should mention, besides, you know, the long hair halfway down my back, I'm wearing a black shirt, black pants.
Of course.
Black belt. Black boots, and I'm carrying a black bag, which kind of fed fire to the whole cult
thing. Yeah.
Right.
Did they let you go?
Well, they asked me if they could search my boots and pat me down and all this, and I'm figuring, well, it's either that or go downtown with these guys.
Right.
So, and, so I let them do that, and, they let me go, but that was a very strange experience.
That's David Sadoff with his stories about Amy Mann and The Clash and outing Kelly Clarkson right here on the K&R show.
Right?
Wow.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
We are going to hold Ryan hostage. His mom's probably going to be mad at him, but we're going to do one more segment right after this song by...
Oh, you're not holding me hostage.
Yes.
I have to say, I mean, for I'm not a huge fan of music, but all the music that you've played so far tonight, you know, that you brought in, David, were I've liked. I mean, I like it. I like it all.
I'm not a viewer of cable TV, but I'm sure that all the shows you've mentioned are fine shows.
They are all fine shows.
they absolutely are. We've got David Sadoff in studio with us. And you, if you've liked what we've played during the breaks tonight, it's all music you can hear on High Fidelity. That's on 97.5 FM News Channel. And if you can't pick it up, you can listen to it online every Sunday night, right?
That's right, fmnewschannel975.com, and you can get the link right there.
And do you have that link on your, you do, you have it on your MySpace page.
Yes, I do, and also my MySpace page is myspace.com/thelastdj.
The Last DJ.
Yeah, the Houston Press did an article about me and called me the last DJ, so thought I'd go with that.
I like that. Yeah. It's fancy.
Why did they call you the last DJ? Did you, like, win a sword battle or something?
Yes, I have the longest sword. No.
But
Tom Petty has a song called, an album called The Last DJ, and he kind of got it from there, but also there aren't many DJs left that get to choose all their own music and play what they want to play.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the that's the meaning behind it.
Ever since the government started cracking down on DJs and the music they're allowed to play, it's been nothing but Kelly Clarkson and
the swords they're allowed to carry.
Christina Aguilera. We were talking about, we do have to mention that the rodeo is actually in town right now.
Oh, yeah?
Let's talk about temporary lesbians for a second.
What does that have to do with rodeo?
I thought it had everything to do with
but
rodeo.
But I was about to talk about Leanne Rimes, so...
Perfectly played drop, thank you.
Although Leanne Rimes is... I don't know that Leanne Rimes is so much questionable as her dancer husband is, but, you know, God bless them. They've been married for quite a few years. Here's what I thought was funny, though. I'm reading the Houston Chronicle, the star section. I'm assuming that's what it's called. It's just denoted by a giant star on the top of the section E. But they were talking about all the cowboys that are there, and they have a picture. Apparently Cody is a very big popular name for cowboys this year.
Okay.
Because 10 of the cowboys, and they have them pictured here, are named Cody.
Wow.
That are like in the runnings to, I don't know, be America's next top cowboy. Or I don't know. I don't know how they really choose that. I'm sure, you know, the ghost of Johnny Cash, you know.
You don't know where the hell I come from. You have no idea what I've been through.
Probably runs him through it. Wouldn't that be great? Like, who could run that? Who could run the America's Next Top?
Tyra. No. Tyra can do everything. Tyra Banks.
No, Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, I don't know if that'd be appreciated at all. I really wanted to take my microphone out to the rodeo after the Oscars and just ask if people were disappointed that Brokeback didn't win.
And they'd be like, what? I didn't even watch that. You know, I was so pissed. We did an Oscar betting pool. You didn't participate in it because you didn't go to the Oscar party. And David, unfortunately, didn't know you. Otherwise, you would have been invited. But we...
Really, you would have. He invites everybody to these things.
We
would have all... It's a little ridiculous.
We would have all... We all bet, like, put our predictions as to who would, you know, who would win all the Oscars. And I did not win. Our friend Richie won because he went on some magical website that told the news of the future and told him, like, literally every single category, every single category he got right. And I was really irritated about it, and I still sort of hate him a little bit about it. But I noticed, like, Memoirs of the Geisha was in a lot of the categories. Mm-hmm. And I saw Memoirs of a Geisha. And the movie is like a Japanese restaurant on film. It's not that good, not filling. You leave going, why does my stomach hurt? So, like, they were up for, like, art direction and best cinematography and best costume design. And I didn't choose them because the movie sucked. And I was like, you know, how hard is it to make Japanese things pretty? Go to, like, the Japanese... I mean, they're pretty. They're delicate and they've got bonsai trees. It's going to look nice, you know? And they won every single category. And that's the reason why I didn't win the Oscar betting pool, because of freaking Memoirs of a Geisha. Damn that movie to hell.
All news, none of the nonsense. That's right. This is K&R show. All news, none of the nonsense. We don't kid around here. We get to the meat of things.
That was my little rant about. I've been pinting up Memoirs of a Geisha anger for quite a while now.
So your mom works in a bad part of town?
Yes.
So you need to leave to pick her up?
Yeah, I do. Oh, I gotta go.
All right,
I really do.
All right, see you. It's been a great show. I'm glad to be back. Are we gonna do another show next week? What do you think?
I don't know. We'll see.
All right.
Let's see if I show up.
It's K&R show. We've had David Sadoff with us. And what song am I playing? Oh, yeah. A little Tom Waits for
Tom
you.
Tom Waits.
This is A New Coat of Paint. David, thanks for coming.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Enjoy your gummy bears. Bye, Ryan.
Is it good?
See you later. We're just going to sit here and chill with a little...
Chewy.
See
you later.
Yeah. Chill with Tom Waits. You can catch us all on knrshow.com. We will be back next week. Probably. There's but a no coat of pain on his lonesome old town. Set him up, we'll be knocking him down. You wear a dress, baby, I wear a tie. We'll laugh at that old bloodshot moon in that burgundy sky. Put a new coat of paint.